So Colossians chapter 4, starting at verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those at Laodicea and Hierapolis. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you.
Are you full to capacity? At this time of year, at any time of year, all through the year maybe, is life just full to the brim for you? Are you at capacity with appointments, with tasks, with relationships, with demands, with expectations from other people? Do you just feel like there is no room left in your life at the moment? Or do you feel perhaps a little more empty at this time of year? At any time of year, all through the year perhaps, is life hollow or a bit shallow or empty for you? Are you lacking in fullness or in purpose or in relationships or in meaning or in joy? Do you feel like that in fact there's just too much space in your life at the moment? Believe it or not, whichever way you are feeling about fullness or the lack thereof, this final passage that we're looking at can be a help to you. Upon first read, it's just a bunch of random personal greetings that Paul passes on. But actually, more than that, it reminds us of the message of the whole book and personalizes that message in important ways. Here we get this glimpse of Paul's life and ministry that is more than theology and more than apostleship even. It's fellowship and partnership and community and love. It's that clothing from chapter 3 verse 12 we've been talking about being worn and practiced in real ways, in real time of history. It's growth in Christ-likeness and Christ community. And it is, I want to say, a whole lot of fullness. That's what we're thinking about tonight. Nothing shallow, nothing hollow, nothing empty, but fullness. The fullness of Jesus being expressed, the fullness of Christian community, and fullness of heart for other people. And these are the three points that we're going to just break tonight into. So firstly, fullness in Christ. And I want to, at this point, just read a chunk from chapter 2 about this fullness. Paul says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self that was ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. In Christ, you have been brought to fullness, Paul says. Because you died with him, you were buried with him, and you have been raised with him. He is your fullness, your whole life, your very meaning, identity, definition. What is it that we've been saying in this series? Christ is all. He is all, and he is in all. He is supreme. He is central. He is sufficient. He is everything. He's the genuine article. Right back at the beginning, we saw the true gospel community, and true gospel growth. We don't grow beyond Jesus, but only in him. The hope of glory is Christ Jesus in us, filling us, ruling us, dwelling in us. We're not about rules or mysticism or spiritualism or religion, as chapter 2 talks about. We are about Christ. He is all. We're not about sex or greed or idolatry, as chapter 3 talks about. We are about Christ. He is all. He is our clothing. He is our peace. He is our message. He is our very purpose. He fills the whole universe, Paul's telling us. He fills creation. He fills the world, and he fills us too. At least that is what he desires for us. He dominates all powers and authorities and forces in this world and us as well. He fills the church. And we've seen recently, he fills the home and he fills the workplace. And he fills us, whether we are workers or husbands or wives or fathers or mothers or brothers or sisters in the church. Paul says he's the mystery of God revealed to us. The very fullness of God himself. He is all and is in all. And he is in you, the hope of glory. And if he's in you, you are full. You are full. Now it's true, we can still feel empty, can't we? We read all this in Colossians and we think, that's great, the gospel is awesome, but we can still feel empty. We can still feel hollow or shallow. In a broken world with sinful natures, we can't not feel this way at times. But in Christ, Paul's telling us, you are full. It is a reality. You have been, he says, you have died with him. You have been raised with him. You are already full in him despite the worldly tension that we deal with. If anyone here doesn't know what I'm talking about in that, doesn't have this fullness, I want to say you can be full. You can be satisfied if you believe in Jesus and in his sufficiency. His supremacy. Loneliness, emptiness, apathy, despair, that can all be held at bay and pushed out even by the fullness, the purpose, the meaning and the joy of Jesus Christ. But there's even more to it than that. It's also fullness in fellowship. Because if each believer is full in Christ, then the fellowship of believers ought to be something really special, and is. Something really different, something really powerful. There are 10 different people that Paul mentions in this passage, and it is a somewhat random collection of names, and yet it is a proper glimpse at the workings and the ministries and the connections of the Christian community in that area, in that time. So Tychicus and Onesimus in verses 7 to 9 are mentioned because they are the messengers that Paul has appointed to bring his letter and also his news and encouragement to the church in Colossae. Aristarchus, John Mark, and that is the Mark who wrote the gospel, Justus, Epaphras, Dr. Luke, yes, that's Luke, he was a doctor, and Demas as well in verses 10 to 14 are mentioned because they add their greetings to send to the Colossians. And then two others, Nympha and Archippus, in verses 15 and 17 are mentioned with a specific greeting or a specific message from Paul. And this is just a portion of God's church in that day, of people who were full in Christ, identified by and defined by and located in Christ. Way back at the start of the series, and you're not supposed to remember necessarily, it was 18 months ago now, but way back at the start we talked about how the Colossians had never met Paul, and at this point they hadn't, and how they needed, because of that, they needed some reassuring that their faith and that their growth and that their gospel was true, that it was good. And Paul encourages them. In chapter 1, verse 2, he actually addresses them as God's holy people, God's saints in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Not only is that a great encouragement, but he's saying here, you guys are geographically located in Colossae, yes, but spiritually you are located in Jesus. And we considered that same thing when we looked at chapter 1, verses 21 to 23, which we read before. We talked about, well, where is that you are here marker on the cosmic Christ-filled universe, map of the universe? Where is that you are here marker? Where are we? And Paul says, well, once you were alienated, you were enemies, you weren't even on the map, but now you are in Christ. Where he is, you are. And so what we have here at the end of chapter 4 is a bunch of people from all over the place in the known world of the day. They're from Jerusalem and Antioch and Ephesus and Colossae and Laodicea and more. And yet, they're all together in Christ. Not in proximity, but they are together in Christ. They are all located in him. And geography, proximity, was not the only barrier that was overcome here, as we see in this passage. Chapter 3, verse 11, Paul says, here, and that is in the church community, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And in the Galatians, a very similar list in Galatians, he adds male and female to that list. And see, in our passage of greetings, there are Jews and Gentiles. In fact, Paul makes it very clear. There are circumcised and uncircumcised. There are males and females. And there are slaves and freemen. In fact, Onesimus was actually at this point being sent back to Colossae because his master, Philemon, which is also the other book of the Bible, he was living in Colossae. And so he was being sent back because he ran away. And then he was converted, and now he was going back to his master. And so the fullness of Christian fellowship rises above geographical proximity, yes, but also racial and religious and sexual and social divides. Beyond all of them, Christ is all and is in all peoples of every ethnicity, every culture, every ability, every background, every personality. And see, as part of the church, we have a very special bond above all those different dividers. We are all in Christ. We are all of us full in Christ. We all have Christ in us. We all share the hope of glory. We all died with him. We've all been raised with him. We are his, all of us. Heart, body, mind, and spirit ruled by him and loved by him. I know that the church can still be a lonely place, having said all of that. That we can still feel empty here. That we can still feel like the fellowship is hollow, or that other people around us are shallow. And at times it doesn't feel very full at all. But I want to say a couple of things at this point. First one is, don't take what we have for granted. Despite its imperfections and its weaknesses, we have a connection with each other that is deep and that is unique. We share meaning, purpose, joy, and identity, even when it gets clouded sometimes. And we share suffering, trials, pain, and sorrow of being Jesus' followers in a broken world. There is loneliness in the church, unfortunately. But there is a harsher, colder loneliness outside of it. And so that I'm not just saying that to play the compare game, the second thing I want to say is this: be real about it, this bond. Be real and genuine and involved in the fellowship of believers. It's not an attendance thing, it's an involvement thing. We have this bond in Jesus, this shared gospel, this wonderful, amazing fullness. So let it impact the relationships we do have here. Our conversations, our groups, our ministries. They're all centered on this, remember. They're all full of Christ. Let it spur us to build the current relationships that we have and to make new ones as well, wherever we may go. To take the step ourselves to reach out, knowing that loneliness and isolation are ironically one of the most shared and common feelings that we experience. Can't we connect a bit over that? And this brings us really to the last point tonight: the need for full hearts, for large hearts, bursting hearts even, overflowing hearts. See, logic would tell us that being filled with Christ leaves no room for anything or anyone else, doesn't it? That we'd be full to capacity. I mean, if you have your teacup and you fill it to the very brim with hot water, you don't have room to put milk in if you want it. It's at capacity. But Jesus works differently to physics and volumetric maths. Because the fullness of Christ actually creates capacity in us. A heart full of Christ actually enlarges the heart to include love and care for others as well. And so you might say that it's more like a balloon than a cup because it expands. Or you might say that it's like a cup overflowing with Christ's love so that it flows to others as well. Either way, it is a supernatural and somewhat mysterious thing. Well, let's have another look at Paul. These greetings we have here at the end of the book show that he had a true capacity for others, a capacity to work with others. Many of them he calls his fellow servants, a capacity for humility and diversity and unity in the church. He worked with people all sorts of different backgrounds and cultures. And also a capacity to forgive others and look beyond personal things, because you'll notice John Mark is mentioned here in the text, and he actually had fallen out with Paul at one point in the missionary journeys. You can read about it in Acts 15. But Paul still speaks of him as a brother in Christ. There's more than personal things. Paul's not reluctant to use the word dear when he talks of his brothers and his co-workers in Jesus, because relationships were so incredibly important to him. And let's not forget the prayers that we read last week from the start of the book. And not just the ones at the beginning of Colossians, but his other letters as well. They are incredibly heartfelt, passionate prayers for the churches that he ministers to. He prays that the Colossians will be confident in the genuine message of the gospel and the genuine identity in Christ. He prays for their growth in faith and hope and love, that it would abound. He prays for their knowledge and their conduct as Christians and their fruitful ministry as they serve. And he prays too for their strength and their joy in him. But more than Paul, I want you to consider too what he says about Epaphras. You might remember from the start of the book that Epaphras was probably the guy who planted the church in Colossae. And he was a faithful co-worker of Paul's and most likely here visiting Paul while he's in prison. And so verse 12, he says, Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. He's always wrestling in prayer. That's real. That's loving. It's a deep, great care that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. That is full of Christ, full in the assurance of Christ's salvation, full in growth and maturity. And again, it's not about moving beyond Jesus, but growing and maturing by going deeper into him. It very much resonates with an earlier personal comment of Paul's at the end of chapter 1. After he speaks there of Christ in us, the hope of glory, he says this, He, Christ, is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Fully mature in Christ, fully assured in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend, wrestling in prayer. It's such intense language, such passionate language that Paul uses here. And this is what I want to leave you with tonight at the end of this series. That if we are full in Jesus, if our hearts are enlarged by Christ and our capacity is created by his fullness, then we desire that fullness for others as well. That loving others is about desiring their full assurance and their full maturity. That they'll grow in Jesus. That they'll grow in grace. That they'll grow in the gospel. That they'll grow in love. It's not about just saying hi to each other at church or praying for each other when we get sick or making a meal when someone has a baby or sick. It's about praying for each other's growth and working for each other's growth and assurance and maturity in Christ. I'd go so far as to say love is lacking if we don't desire each other to grow in Jesus. Yes, we're busy. There are many, many people to think about around us. Yes, we can feel lonely despite all the busyness and despite all the people around us. But what are we doing, each of us, to encourage the growth of others? What can we do? Who can you pray for? Who can you approach to offer some accountability and encouragement to? Who can you wrestle in prayer or strenuously contend for? Sure, we all have limitations. Paul himself was locked up in prison. It'd be great to dwell on that more, but that's just one reality that we're dealing with. And all these other people that he mentions had limitations too. By the way, when I wrote this, I almost forgot Timothy, who's mentioned at the very start of the letter, but not at the end of it. But we should remember Timothy too, who was Paul's co-worker. But our capacity is not infinite. We agree with that. But if Jesus fills us, we do have a capacity for others. So how can you fit them in? How can you fit prayer in? How can you fit mentoring in? How can you fit in worship and fellowship? What this passage and even this book is teaching us is that the gospel and theology and the sheer magnitude of Jesus' lordship, they're not impersonal things. Far from it. It affects all of life, every relationship, at home, at work, in the world, in the church, wherever we are. In fact, it means it affects the fellowship of believers most especially, most deeply, most truly. We are here together to help each other grow in Christ, to find fullness in Christ, to have fullness in fellowship, to have fullness of heart, to be fully assured and fully mature in Jesus, who is all and is in all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this book, this letter that you, by your Holy Spirit, inspired Paul to write to a real church in Colossae 2,000 years ago, for the encouragement he gave them and for the encouragement we also can take away so far into the future. Lord, we thank you for it. We pray that it may continue to grow us in the message of the gospel. Lord, that we might be assured of who Jesus is and what he's done, and that we might continue to mature in him so that we might even be brought to perfection one day. Father, help us to strive for this maturity, this growth in each other, to build each other up. Lord, help us to encourage each other in heart, to be united in love, so that we may have the full riches of complete understanding and know the mystery of God, namely Jesus Christ, in whom is hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Lord, grant that to us through the means of being community, through the means of fellowship. Lord, we recognize, we confess that we're imperfect, that we struggle, we put up walls around us, we focus inwardly rather than outwardly, we make the excuse that there's not enough time. But Lord, help us, convict us. Give us your fullness so that we can have a capacity for each other. Help us to find even small ways to pray, to contend, to strive for growth, not just for ourselves, but for each other and for the church as a whole. That we here in Willerton might move forward and be built up, might go out as well to see the kingdom built in the lives of those around us. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.